Listening to Cap'n Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap'n Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Get more into Tony La Russa again later. Everyone's, you know, upset, rightly so.
Yes.
Learn the rules.
I need a palate cleanser, please.
But last Thursday night was, without a doubt, the most exciting moment in Chicago sports since November 2nd, 2016, when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series in Game 7.
Agreed. And that is what?
That is the drafting of Justin Fields.
Yes, Justin Fields.
I mean, this city was on fire Thursday night, Friday, and today. I got friends of mine. Dude, we got Justin Fields.
Parties in the street, for sure.
And on the same night, we learn with a Schefter bomb that Aaron Rodgers goes, F you, Green Bay, I'm not coming back.
Mm.
And since then, we're learning today, the Packers are looking at other quarterbacks, and management has said, and we had Jason Williams say, they're not trading him. You don't want to play? Go host Jeopardy. We'll move on. We'll be fine. And this city is alive, excited. Danny Zetterman said to us this morning, could the Bears actually be the best team in the division if Rodgers is gone? It's a great topic.
It's a great question.
And that leads us to our guy Dan Weider on the Bears and the Aaron Rodgers drama. He joins us now. Dan, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Before we get into all the Bears talk, I am looking to play golf maybe on a Monday in early June, and was wondering if you knew if there was anyone I could ask about potentially playing golf, maybe in a Grip It and Sip It Classic.
What I would do if I were you is I would reach out to Mike Thomas and then just let him handle it.
Okay, just him. Just pinpoint responsibility with Mike. Ask him, and then don't go try to ask other people.
Right, don't end around with other people.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And again, that golf outing that you want to do, that'll be in 2022. That you'll have to
do. Okay, no problem. No problem. I can take no for an answer. I appreciate that. I'll stick in my lane, ask one person, and then move on if I get a no for an answer.
That
that's
is
fine.
Well said.
Very good.
So,
well, Dan, that's all the time we have for you today. Thanks for checking in.
Don't cut him off.
All right, so your job is to cover the Chicago Bears. You do other things, but the Bears is that's your bailiwick. That's your deal. Last Thursday, as you sat down, opened up your laptop, got yourself ready to work, was any part of you expecting what happened, that they were going to end up with Justin Fields, or did you figure it's Greg Newsom or it's Tevin Coleman or Christian Darrisaw and it is what it is?
Even Tevin Jenkins, if you wanted to.
Tevin Jenkins. Right. Who's Tevin Coleman?
I mean, look, I thought that it was going to be a fascinating night because you didn't know what was going to happen at 3 and after 3, right? And it was all going to start with who the 49ers picked and then what was going to happen in that sweet spot of 7, 8, 9, where you had the Lions, the Panthers, and the Broncos all kind of in need of quarterbacks, but not really in need of quarterbacks. And when the board started unfolding the way it did, I mean, you can follow it on Twitter where myself and others are saying, okay, he's still available. Now's the time to start really lighting up the phone lines of those teams ahead of you. And to Ryan's credit, to his staff's credit in that draft room, they were calling up that board trying to find someone that would accept the deal. And look, they don't have to apologize for the way the chessboard unfolded for them. They got their opening. They pounced on it. They got a quarterback of the future who has legitimate star potential. And they walk away from a three-month stretch that was full of despondency and agitation in the outside world. And all of a sudden, they've recaptured the imagination of the city. And sometimes those gifts just fall into your lap.
So I'm wondering, Dan, now that the draft is over, if it was Ryan Pace solely making the final choice, do you think he would have taken Mac Jones instead of Justin Fields? Because Justin Fields feels a lot more like what Matt Nagy would look at because of his dealings with Patrick Mahomes. So if it was just the general manager, Pace, with full autonomy, would he have taken Jones in that spot?
I don't think so, no. I think they see – how dynamic Justin Fields is and the number of different ways he can beat a defense. Listen, Ryan was part of a process this winter where they were interviewing for a defensive coordinator opening, right? And when you're talking to opposing defensive coordinators or people who are coming into your building to interview for that job, you're asking, hey, what are things offensively that really cause you problems, that give you headaches? And you hear, man, these quarterbacks in the 2021 NFL that can beat you in multiple ways, that can beat you with their arm, beat you with their legs, beat you from the pocket, beat you outside the pocket, those are the guys that really, really make you stay up at night. Justin Fields checked every one of those boxes. And so I think the Bears were just absolutely just thrilled and captivated to see the draft board unfold the way it did and to wind up with Fields now and a chance to develop him. Listen, like, that's the next step of this process. They have to make sure that they take this winning lottery ticket and actually get it to the place where you can cash it, right? And so that's the next step here, is putting together a developmental plan that brings out the best in Justin Fields early, brings out the best in Justin Fields often, and does so for a long, long time.
Okay, so we spoke on the phone the other day. I put out a poll question. Is this the most exciting moment in Chicago sports since the Cubs won the World Series? And 62% of...
It's because your choices in your poll were, like, so limited and ridiculous.
Dan,
and
please enlighten me then. What are the choices that should have been on there that would have supplanted Justin Fields getting 62% of the vote?
Okay, so rather than saying Bears make 2018 playoffs but lose, you could say Bears win 12 games, a division, and make it to the playoffs, right? That 2018 season was incredibly exciting. It was so exciting that there was a convention in Rosemont the following summer where there was so much buzz from that 2018 Bears season that people were lined up from Rosemont down to Oak Park down River Road, right? Like, just straight down the road, waiting to get in there because they were so excited about what happened in 2018 and what they anticipated happening in 2019. The Khalil Mack trade jump-started that season that got them to 12 wins. The Cubs, in 2017, after winning the World Series, won a division, went into the playoffs, won a playoff series against the Nationals, which was very exciting. I am all on board for classifying the drafting of Justin Fields last week as a very exciting moment. What I try to do with you is pull you back so that you don't, as I said last week, make it seem like it's the biggest development on the planet Earth since the moon landing. I just, like, can't you just call it very exciting without having to go to, like, these exaggerated extremes? Because, like, you can't process reality more than 5 minutes forward or backwards.
No, because you are out of touch with the fan base.
I've had conversations with 100 people that say, very exciting moment. It's not the biggest thing that happened since the World Series when 3 million people crowded the streets of downtown for a parade the next day.
Dan, you are out of touch. Love you dearly. If you don't realize that the drafting of a franchise quarterback, no one was ever on board, other than me, no one was ever on board with Mitch. And whatever happened in 18, they felt they were being held back by Mitch. No one
was ever on board with Mitch. You had thousands of people in the truth or cult trying to tell you
they
that Mitch
booed
was
him the night he got
years.
Drafted at the Bulls game. They right. booed the pick. Dan, we hired a black quarterback that this city has needed because people thought that, right or wrong, the perception was they weren't going to draft a black quarterback. They did. They got the guy that at least a quarter of the league, according to NFL Network, said is better than Trevor Lawrence, is the best guy on the board. Last Thursday night lit the city on fire. There is no moment.
No dispute. I'm not disputing.
There is no moment since 16 that did what that did. I will fight you to tooth and nail.
I know, and you're going to keep being wrong about it because you can't live in
62%. 62%.
Your poll answers were so ridiculous. Cap, can I move on with Hoodie and we'll talk about reality zone football and things that actually matter for this football team rather than some cockamamie exaggerated reaction to this draft pick that hasn't produced a single on-field result yet.
Take the L, and now move on.
Cockabamie, he says. Yeah. Cockabamie. So Dan, this whole thing.
Good to talk to you. Okay. Thanks for getting in here with a question.
I just want to get your thoughts about the Packers because this affects the Bears as well in the NFC North. So you've been hearing the conversation, Dan. It's a dividing line. Some say that they're on the side of Gutekunst and Mark Murphy saying, you know, whatever Rodgers says, you got to move on with your franchise. If Jordan loves the future right now, let's do it. Or some are saying, that you have to acquiesce, bend over backwards as much as you can for Rodgers. I'm on the side of this. I look at the draft, and you know the numbers as well. The last 10 years, 9 of the first-round picks have been defensive players. The only offensive player was a replacement for Rodgers. So which side of the ledger do you fall on regarding this situation? Is Rodgers right for wanting to leave, or have the Packers done right by Rodgers over the years?
Look, I think both parties are at fault here, Hoodie, and anyone that's spent significant time around Aaron Rodgers as his teammates, media members, folks who have been in that organization for a long time will tell you that he is a first ballot Hall of Famer in terms of holding grudges, in terms of being a little bit self-absorbed at times. But he's also earned that right. He's the reigning MVP of this league. He has taken this team to the doorstep of the Super Bowl the last 2 years and wants to get over that hump to win another Lombardi Trophy for that organization. And whatever has hurt his feelings to this extent, it's unfortunate for the Packers organization. If they want to consult folks in Chicago about what it's like to live in this quarterback other world where you can never find an answer and you're constantly dealing with instability and you take really good teams that aren't stable at the quarterback position and you just fall into the state of averageness and mediocrity, there's a lot of people here in this city that would be willing to talk to them or probably just stonewall them because they want to see Aaron Rodgers in Denver and the division wide open again. And so this is a very complicated situation in Green Bay. It's one that folks in Chicago should absolutely be celebrating. I wrote yesterday that you could stop right now and say that the Chicago Bears have the most enviable quarterback situation in the division at this moment, which 7 days ago right now would have been the most ludicrous thing you could have ever said. Cockamamie even. And so this is crazy, crazy up in Green Bay how it's gotten to this point. But, man, if you don't understand what you have in Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what to tell you. Because go ahead, try to live with the other side. Try to think that Aaron or that Jordan Love is the next answer. And if it fails, good luck. Good luck for the next 15 years trying to find the next answer.
See, Cap's on the side of management, and I say I don't want to have the Lindy Infante, Forrest Gregg years again. Because we don't know what Jordan Love is. That's all.
You don't want to have the last 30 years of Bears football, right, where you have – standout defenses, elite defenses that can't get it right at the quarterback position and wind up in this state of frustration over and over and over again. If the Packers want to try that, go for it. Like I said, the city of Chicago will be all for the Packers turning Jordan Love loose the next time the Bears play in Lambeau Field. And so this is it's crazy because, again, like you guys have talked to similar people that I've talked to and people that are very, very tapped into that organization say, he's not coming back. It's over. The Aaron Rodgers era in Green Bay is done, and that is just so astounding to wrap your brain around.
So we're talking to Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune and ESPN 1000. Okay, Dan, let me just say this. He's a great player. He's one of the 10 best quarterbacks to ever put on a uniform. That's undisputed. I get all of it. He's also an entitled diva who's won one NFC title game. One. The same number that Rex Grossman won. So let's just be fair here.
Stop with that. That's crazy, too. Keep going. Ask your question.
I just am spitting you facts. He won one NFC title game. He's an entitled diva. And if the Green Bay Packers acquiesce to give in to him, they're out of their minds. And I don't think they will. And if he wants to go host Jeopardy or bring back Match Game 2021, enjoy it. If you want to play football, if I'm the owner of the Packers, guess what, kid? You're either playing for me or you're playing for no one.
Let me give you a couple other numbers. Aaron Rodgers has won 7 of the last 10 NFC North championships. Aaron Rodgers has won 11 playoff games as a starter. That's 7 more than the Bears, Lions, and Vikings combined in that same span. So anybody that wants to say, oh, if you don't make it to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, then you're just a nothing, is not paying attention to what their football fandom experience has been like. I can promise you that there have been a lot more enjoyable Sundays, a lot more enjoyable Monday through Fridays in Green Bay than there have been in any of those other three cities over the last 13 years that Aaron Rodgers has been starting. Aaron Rodgers is a special talent that every single year that he's healthy gives you a chance to be in the mix for a championship. The Bears haven't had one of those guys in my entire lifetime. So if you want to say, hey, kick rocks, scram, you know, go to wherever you need to go to Aaron Rodgers, then good luck rolling those dice, because I think there's enough evidence elsewhere around the league of what happens when you get lost at the quarterback position and how difficult it is to find a compass to get you out of the forest. It's like the Blair Witch Project. All of a sudden you're stuck and you're screaming into a camera and you're going, ah, I don't know the way out. Ah!
Dan, have a great rest of your day, man.
Thank you very much for sharing your bailiwick with us.
Hoodie, thank you for keeping your residence in the Reality Zone. Cap, enjoy the rest of your day as well.
Oh. Thanks. You got it. I have the truth on my side. Have a great day, pal. That's our guy, Dan Wiederer. Brett Favre weighs in on the Aaron Rodgers drama with the Packers.
As you put a foot in his ass, showing him the door.
Exactly. Out! I love Dan. He gets clueless at times, but I love him. We'll be right back. Take that.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
So, thank you, Dan Wiederer. We just will agree to disagree.
Every time he's on, we disagree. Every time he's on, it's every
pretty
time.
Pretty close.
Jeez.
He's just, on this issue, he is completely out of touch with the fan base. That lit this fan base on fire last Thursday. On fire. Like in 2018.
Yeah.
It was a cool season.
Yes.
Nobody thought that team was winning a Super Bowl. Like, we all went, well, this is cool. It was kind of like 2001 mm-hmm. when Geron went 13-3. And then they reverted right back to a Geron. Crappy team, which is exactly what we did. No one ever got at, and it, Khalil Mack was awesome. Great. Yes. He's a defensive player. We drafted who? We got a quarterback? For the first time in our life? It's not like we had stacks of all pros. We've never had one.
Yes.
This fan base is electric.
Would you say, though, that if Aaron Rodgers does indeed leave the Packers, on the day that becomes official, that would surpass the drafting of Justin Fields as the most exciting day in Chicago sports?
No, because I think you got to put them in together, right?
No, those are separate. Those are separate occurrences. How did you feel when LeBron left the Eastern Conference? How did you feel about that? That was pretty big because you thought maybe the Bulls would have a path, right? With him out of the conference, that was a big deal.
No, because we were crappy then. He went to the Lakers, what? This is his third season there?
Third or fourth.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't very good, so it wasn't like, oh, God, we're the runner-up in the East 3 straight years. Now we can get there. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
can I say one thing, Cap, and I mean this with peace and love?
Oh, boy.
I think you took an unfair shot at Dan Wiederer by saying he's out of touch with the fan base.
On this and issue.
You're the same man yesterday. You're the same man yesterday that defended Dusty Baker when I would say 90% of Cub fans don't defend Dusty Baker. Mm-hmm. And you're the same man that defended Jerry Krause breaking up the Bulls dynasty. So to say somebody's out of touch with the fan base, you know, when you point a finger
for pointing right back at you. Yeah, I didn't defend right Jerry breaking it up. I said that team was done. I said they wouldn't have won again.
Which is basically saying what he did was the right move, right? And I'm just saying that's out of touch with the fan base. Like, your attack on him about being out of touch with the fan base, you know, careful, you know, what the pot,
I'm not
the
asking
thing.
Dan to change his opinion. I think you're apples and oranges here. Dan's entitled to his opinion.
Well, you're entitled to yours, but your comment, you're out of touch with the fan base. Your two bold statements yesterday are out of touch with the fan bases. The Bulls fan base believes that Jerry Krause should have let Jordan and crew come back. That's what the majority of the fan base believes. You don't. You're out of touch there. The majority of Cub fans dislike Dusty Baker.
I'm not sure about that.
You defend him.
I think there's a lot of vocal guys like you and Sylvie that don't like Dusty. I'm not sure the majority of the fan base despises.
Well, let me ask this. Would you consider yourself a journalist?
No.
Is Dan a journalist?
Yes.
He shouldn't have to be in touch with the fan base. He's just writing about the team. See, here's the difference between Dan and you and me. Or no, Dan and you.
Mm-hmm.
See, you have all the numbers of executives across the board of Chicago sports. You can contact them at any time. They can give you their rhetoric and their opinion. Mm-hmm. And then you are a talk show host with an opinion. And at times, well, it's for sure, it's not at times, you meld the two and to be able to have one super opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily have to do that. I could text Rick Hahn, but I'd rather not,
mm-hmm.
because you and I have to be able to be on the court. Like, I'm a fan first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the guy at 20 minutes from the ballpark where I grew up on the south side, mm-hmm. and going to Old Comiskey, sitting in the bleachers. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still that guy at age 48. Even though I do have access, I don't go for it. But you know why? Because I don't need to know that badly.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever happens, I go with the flow. Whatever the news cycle is, whatever the Sox, Cubs, Bulls, or whatever they do, I go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
I can ask why after the fact, but not before. I don't need to say, I'm not a newsbreaker,
mm-hmm.
but you still are, and a fan. There's a meld there, Cap, that you have that Weider does not. He's not a fan. He's a writer.
Correct.
He covers the Bears.
Correct.
So he doesn't have to have the connection with the fans like I am or you do.
Correct. And I have argued this with a lot of different people who are writers. Some now work in the radio business,
sure.
the TV business. I'm not a fan. I just want a good story to cover. Then I'll go be an accountant. I have zero interest in just give me a good story. I don't care who wins or loses. Never. That will never ever be me.
But you play both sides to the middle, though, because the journalism part is for you to get news.
Correct. When I break a story...
What average fan in the bleachers has the access that you have?
Nobody. I get it. But I'm also not just give me a good story. I'm a fan, but I also believe you could do both. And I remember having on... Who's the guy in Boston?
The talk show host?
Bob Ryan.
Yeah, Bob Ryan from the Globe.
Bob Ryan's one of the great writers this world has ever seen.
Yes.
Are you a fan, Bob?
And old and crusty, yes.
Yeah. Are you a fan, Bob? He goes, am I a fan? Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Boston teams are my favorite. Mm-hmm. And that's why when I write harsh things, it comes from my heart, because I'm a fan. And anyone who tells you they get in this business, I just want a good story, that's a lie. He said, you got in it because you're a sports fan. Like, I don't want to go do ESPN New York and go, okay, I want to talk Yankees baseball. I don't. Right. I want to sit here with you and I want to talk Chicago sports because it's in my freaking veins.
But for Dan's standpoint, Dan is a guy that has to separate himself from the fans at Soldier Field.
I get it.
That's his job. Could you imagine? Otherwise, he's just writing a blog, a fan blog. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. I want perspective.
Right.
So I don't need him for me. I don't need him to give me the perspective of what fans think or the fan perspective of Chicago sports. I just need him to give me a good story with sources about the Bears for me.
What if there was a columnist? There isn't. But what if there was a columnist in town that he's writing about Tony La Russa, not in a journalistic style, in more of a, I'm a freaking White Sox fan, and that was embarrassing yesterday.
Oh, I go to Sox Machine for that. I got plenty of blogs for that.
Right.
Fan-sided. I can go to those sites, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And that's what journalism has splintered into that, right?
Uh-huh.
It's radio. It's podcast. It's fan blogs. It's things.
Twitter.
Yeah, so I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
I get all that. But from Dan's standpoint, I don't need him to be locked into the fans. That's the problem today. Yeah, too many people have so many, they're so locked in to one side and speaking through management. I don't need that.
But he also makes it an absolute, from my seat, and I love Dan, but he makes it an absolute that I'm wrong, I'm out of touch, I'm in the moment, and that he's right. And that is not true.
But he's just saying that hold on. Dan's not saying that he's right, you're wrong. He's saying you're too absolute. That's what he's saying.
Well, you are black and white.
The difference is he's not trying to nail you with his opinion. Dan never nails anyone with his opinion. He has them, but he doesn't try to shove them up your nose. What he's saying is you do try to nail people with your opinion, and he's trying to counter that with some facts. That's all he's doing.
I'll agree with Dan. I think the drafting of Justin Fields, your framing of it is a bit hyperbolic. It was a great day. It was exciting, and I think it was more exciting because the expectation for most of the Bears fan base was that it was not going to be a draft where they were going to be able to land a potential franchise quarterback. We still don't know if Justin Fields is a franchise quarterback. I think we're all in this room.
That wasn't my point.
But you say franchise quarterback like he already is franchise quarterback. Yes, you did.
No, I did
you
not.
You did last segment. You said a franchise quarterback. Is he a franchise quarterback? He could be. We all hope he will be. We do not know. He has not played an NFL down yet, Cap.
Jeff.
They drafted a franchise quarterback in Mitch Trubisky. That didn't work out so well, did it?
Was the fan base lit on fire the night they drafted Mitch? The answer is unequivocally no.
They were not. They booed him at the Bulls game.
But they were They were confused, too, because they had no idea that that was coming, correct?
They didn't know they were getting Justin Fields either. When they announced the pick of Justin Fields, it lit the fan base on fire.
Yeah.
And that's my point. Nothing in Chicago sports since 2016 has lit our fan base on fire like that. And it isn't even close. The Bulls, get out of here. They were a freaking joke. The Blackhawks haven't made the playoffs in that span since 16. Mm-hmm. Haven't won a game since 15 because they got swept by Nashville.
Right.
The Cubs, stop. We watched them just their window keep closing. The Sox, they haven't done anything yet. So stop. It's not even close. Justin Fields lit our city from a sports perspective on fire. No other move has done that.
What about the night the Bears beat the Rams in 2017? The cold. You think the city wasn't more excited in the midst of a team that showed you that they had probably just...
No.
What do you
not
mean,
even
no.
close. They were excited. Justin Fields coming to the Bears when we've not had a quarterback in 4 billion years.
You're caught up in the moment, Cap. You're caught up in the moment. Because we haven't even seen Fields play yet. The moment Justin Fields struggles on the field.
It doesn't matter, Jeff.
It does, Cap. Because remember when the Bears were beating the Rams, what was it, 11-6 on the lakefront?
15-6.
Whatever it was. So they were beating them. The defense was shut. The next day, this city was so amped up about the potential that they were going to make a playoff run. People were believing they had a potential Super Bowl winner here. The city was more I'm telling you, it's because the expectations of draft night were that they were not going to be able to get a quarterback. That's part of why the city was so excited the next day.
I'm just telling you, take the L because you're wrong here. People,
why do I need to take an L? It's my opinion, Cap. Do you take the L when your opinion's wrong?
Jeff.
Your opinion's never wrong.
When
it's your truth.
We woke up the next morning and they had beaten the Rams. People went, the defense was amazing. But it was freezing cold. It was a team from L.A. and our quarterback sucked. That's how they woke up. Yes, it was cool we won. Our quarterback was awful and it was freezing cold. If that game was played in L.A., we'd have lost. That's what everybody said. Justin Fields? Oh, stop. That's the top of the freaking Sears Tower compared to being like 20 floors up. It's not even close. So, anyway, 312-332-3776. We'll play Shot or No Shot next.
Take that.
Cap, J-Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J-Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I see.
Shot, No Shot, with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
shot. Shot, No Shot is brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse to register your account. Danny N. Zetterman.
Morning, Danny.
Good morning, Jonathan Hood.
Boy, what a great bailiwick between Dan Wiederer and David Kaplan, huh?
What is a bailiwick?
It's like the thing you do best.
Your expertise.
Where's that from?
I don't know. I mean,
your dad.
I might have learned it from my dad. Like, do you know what a bell cow is?
Yes.
Like the lead cow always had a bell on it. So you call him a bell cow running back.
Yes.
Like Walter Payton was a bell cow running back. Now it's David Montgomery.
You know, when running backs really matter in the National Football League. I guess they don't exist anymore. The old days of the NFL, huh?
Right. Carmen Yurko said they should do away with the position. No, they did not.
Yeah, and they're still wrong.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen, my bailiwick today is shot or no shot.
I enjoy your bailiwick.
Thank you.
And many have over the years before you were married.
Yes, indeed. That was a strong, Bailiwick.
Listen to that voice. How it dipped right there.
Yes, it did.
All right, gentlemen, let's stick to the Bears because it got Cap's panties in a bunch.
Oh,
the Chicago Bears defense is not any better after this offseason. They made no big splashes. They cut their top cornerback in Kyle Fuller. With the addition of Justin Fields, which was the greatest day on the face of the planet, and drafting a stud lineman in Tevin Jenkins, shot or no shot, the Bears are now stronger on offense than they are on defense.
That is a shot. Because I like to see the defense actually get to the quarterback, one of the worst when it comes to blitzing. And so from a number standpoint, I'm actually more enamored with the offense and what Fields could be than the defense because they didn't get to the quarterback enough for me.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot because I don't know if Justin Fields is going to be the quarterback opening day. I don't know if it's going to be a high-octane offense. I do believe this defense will have a renaissance. I think they're going to go out and add a veteran corner. I'm not telling you that Rod Woodson's coming out of retirement or Deion Sanders or anybody to come play for us. I'm just telling you, that's still a really good defense.
Good defense. So what you're telling me is that Eddie Goldman is the big difference.
He's going to be a huge part.
You sure the defense will stay intact? They're not going to get rid of other defensive players to try to get a little bit higher on their salary cap? Because right now it's just a couple of quarters.
I don't think anybody of real consequence. I don't think Akeem Hicks or anybody like that's going away.
That would help, though. Would it not?
You mean
the cap? If you were able to cut a few players, get yourself in a salary cap position? Because right now it's at 410.
No, that be the $9 million on Leno is now giving
Leno
you.
Leno was a big savings.
Leno, yeah,
huge.
Leno, yeah.
So,
what about Jimmy Graham? I know he's not on the defensive side of the ball, but is he coming off the books?
I don't think so.
All right, gentlemen.
Don't think so.
Let me ask you about another player that perhaps could be coming off the books. So Adam Schefter just reported the Packers are exploring quarterbacks they can add to their roster for OTAs and training camp. Jordan Love is obviously the only quarterback on the roster, but the team's got some situations with Aaron Rodgers. So I asked you guys, shot or no shot, the Packers should indeed be interested in Nick Foles.
That's a shot. And I don't know what that's worth, if that's fifth round or a future, but as I told you, Cap, I don't understand why he's on this football team still. Like, this is not 1989 where you had a solid starter and a solid backup, and then, like, the third guy would also
Greg Landry.
Yes, a punter slash quarterback.
Right.
Or a kicker, like, someone else that could do the job if you needed to.
George Blanda.
Someone, right? Right. You know what? We have to skew a little bit younger than George Blanda. I mean,
I can't think of any old guys that.
Okay.
Aren't like that.
Not on GN. So nonetheless, I would say that you got to have your veteran quarterback and your young guy. That's how rosters are built today.
Our guy Brad Biggs, Danny had it printed for me because I'm blocked.
Yes, that's correct.
That cutting Foles right now would mean it would cost the Bears more in cap space to cut him even after June 1 than it is to carry him on the roster. So I think they're going to wait till post June 1. And if a Green Bay or a Jets or somebody says, all right, I'll give you a seventh round pick in 2098, I'll take the $5 million money and the Bears will get a little saving.
Sure.
Gentlemen, no one covers the NHL like this show. Rangers Capitals,
yes.
They squared off with six fights in the first period.
Uh-huh.
The Rangers and Capitals combined for 72 penalty minutes in the first 4 minutes and 14 seconds of the game. There were six separate fights to start the game, including a line brawl 1 second into the opening faceoff. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, you would watch more hockey if this happened on a regular basis?
If I knew there was bloodshed, probably, because that would remind me of professional wrestling or UFC, maybe if that was the case. I find it fascinating that for generations, this type of nonsense is allowed in the NHL, but no other sport. Oh, let them handle it themselves. And then you hold back the suspensions. You hold back the suspensions. If it's the NBA or Major League Baseball, without question, it's a 10-game suspension with appeal. Peel it back to like 8, 7, whatever, right? Apparently, Bettman is good with this, just to get eyeballs on the product.
Right.
But it's been like that forever.
So when you said, Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, you said regularly. Was that the word you used?
Yes, regularly.
Okay. If you said regularly and it's in an 82-game Blackhawks season, I saw it six times?
Six out of 82 isn't regular.
What we saw last night hasn't happened in
40 years.
Well,
of that
I'm not asking about past. I'm saying going forward.
So what's regularly? How many times?
Often. Maybe every other game.
No, I would.
If you're watching the NHL package, if you're watching highlights of the NHL game, at least happens once a night for a different team.
To the degree of last night.
Yeah.
No, I would lose interest in the sport.
You grew up watching fights every night at the Chicago Stadium.
Not like this, where they drop the gloves in the center circle.
Well, not everybody, but you saw fights every night.
Yeah, a fight here or there. But what Danny's talking about...
Here or there. There was a couple every time you watched a Hawks game as a kid, wasn't
couple.
It?
But what you saw last night, that was just mayhem. No, I would lose interest quickly. I enjoy the sport of hockey. Not an expert on it. I just enjoy it as a fan.
I think in the era of the short attention span and the quick clicks, to see a fight for 2 minutes, I think that works well with today's TikTok era. They would love, I mean, just to see a fight. Now, listen, you might be an NHL purist, and if that's the case, then maybe you and Phil Hirsch can get together and watch Olympic hockey.
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, that's great. But I'm telling you that people like hockey, but they also like the mayhem. They like it too. Now, maybe it's not for you, but for the majority, just to see a 2 minute. Because, you know, again, people are busy today. They got time to be watching all, 3 hours of a game. But if they see that, it's like, oh, I'm in. Oh, they're doing this all the time.
There's
I'm in.
Game on. Let's see if they go at it.
There's a fight. I'm watching.
The NHL tweeted that out. I bet you of all the clips they tweeted out this hockey season, this will be the most watched clip.
Wait, the NHL?
Because out of the norm.
Whoever tweeted it out, whether it's the NHL and Canada, I don't know who the official tweeted it out was.
TSN,
that's it. But I bet you that's the most watched one they get, the most clicked on highlight package they get all year.
And all of a sudden, it's like a square dance. Like, I mean, you start off the game that way. It's premeditated. Like, we're going to beat their ass as soon as we get on the ice. It's crazy. And what does the NHL do about it? Nothing.
They love it.
You think the NFL used to be the Wild West? What's Bettman doing about it?
Agreed.
But accept it in this circle. Accept it, please. Continue to fight,
Danny.
That will raise the interest. Want it, Danny? If you keep doing that,
yes.
So the shot it's a shot because of today's world. More and more people will watch and see. Well, what's happening here? Is Vegas fighting tonight? The Blackhawks fighting tonight? What's happening?
There's so much more intrigue. I would watch a lot more hockey.
But if it's too much, people would be like, yeah, whatever. It happens every night.
But why do people watch UFC? People love, like...
But there's... How many UFC cards are there?
You could find a UFC fight every single weekend if you looked for it. I mean, I'm a man that likes to watch other grown men hit each other hard. Like, I'll be honest with you. That interests me. So if there was going to be more fighting in hockey, I would be more willing when I'm flipping through the stations to stop on
interesting
a game.
Interesting perspective.
It's just, that sport's supposed to be physical, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, like
we're in the boss Mike Thomas's office after our show for our meeting. He has the NHL Network on every day, and we're talking a meeting. The only time he stops us talking is when there's a fight, and he'll be like, watch this, guys. Look at that. Check that one out.
True. Real quick, do you have one last one?
I do. Marky Mark Wahlberg is eating 7,000 calories a day. He's gained 30 pounds in 3 weeks for a movie role. Gentlemen, the transformation is unbelievable. If you have Instagram, go to his Instagram page and see the change. But I ask you guys, shot or no shot, you would do that if you were a movie actor.
Shot. If that was my job and the studio's paying to have a trainer and a doctor and...
I don't think the studio pays for that. I think that Marky Mark, the story, has hired his own...
Okay, but they're giving him, what, $20 million to do the movie?
He's probably making $25 million for the movie.
So they kind of are paying for it. Hey, Hootie, I'm going to pay you $25 million. Here's what I need you to do. And then as soon as you're done doing the movie, you can have that guy get you right back in shape, which he said they will do.
But that's the big thing. A guy can't get you back in shape. Like, Marky Mark's a guy that works out anyway, so probably for him he's going to get back in shape. But, like, for some people, going that way is one direction.
Well, you know, if they were going to pay me, just give me half. I'm already there. I just got to get it off. like, they don't have to pay me to put on 30 more pounds. I'm already there. I'm ready.
I'm good.
Did you put on it? Nope. It's just me. Just me, pal. Now just help me get
it off.
I'll
just worry about the back end.
Just help me get it off.
Write me that check.
He's eating a dozen eggs a day. He wakes up at 3 a.m. just to eat breakfast.
Like power lifters do, right?
Yeah.
They have a regimen.
They need that many calories, and it's hard to take it in.
Would you miss $2 billion with a B? Would you miss $2 billion?
I'm ready for my role.
That's next. Take that.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
My guy Weeder, all the times you've been ridiculously wrong. Let me just give a memo to everyone. You think I give a flying F that I'm wrong?
Careful now.
No, it's called having an opinion. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. God bless. Was I right on Mitch Trubisky? No.
You were not.
I was wrong. 100%.
Was I right about Tulowitzki being the greatest of all time? I was wrong.
So what? Who cares? I don't care.
That's right, Jeff. I said, saw Tula. I said, you know what? This guy's got the skills to be the greatest of them all.
Yeah, he was on a good track for a good 7 years there in Coors.
He was really good.
And then injuries occurred.
Yeah.
But listen, I don't want to go back into this argument. The problem is, Cap, your opinions you state as if they are factual and they are absolute. And anyone that disagrees with you is wrong. But then when you get...
That's me, kid.
But then when you get proven wrong, like the Mitch thing, you get worked up and wonder why people are calling you out for it. You can't have it both ways.
I'm not worked up. Mitch
no,
was...
you get worked out. Why are you obsessed with me? Why are you coming at me?
People do get obsessed.
Cap, but
that's
here's,
a fact.
Here's the thing. You
and so do you.
Exactly.
He's looking at you, Sylvie.
You can't let Weederer go right now.
We can, but we
or
can.
He
have
keeps tweeting.
Cap, we can have.
Because he knows he took a big L. That's all right.
Stop. We can have a conversation though. Where listen, your opinion right now is that the fan base of the Chicago Bears hasn't been as fired up as they are about Justin Fields as the city has been since the Cubs won the World Series. That's fine. That's your opinion. Our opinion is different than yours. That doesn't make our opinion wrong, though, Cap. Again,
I'm not saying it
because,
is.
Yes, you are, because you've said multiple times we're out of... You say, oh, I'm not saying your opinion's wrong, but then you say you're out of touch with the fan base. That's just a different way of saying you're wrong, I'm right. Again, though, we have no... There's no factual way to say, hey... Let's pull the fan base and ask them how excited they were.
Okay, if I put out...
What, Weeder has got a screed right now.
Oh, I know.
From our conversation on
Twitter.
Because
he's driving going, oh, God. if I put a poll question out, Jeff,
yes,
and said, quote, was the announcement that the Bears had drafted Justin Fields the most exciting moment in Chicago sports that the Cubs won the World Series in 2016? Shot or no shot? Is that a fair question?
No, because Dan pointed out the flaws in... The way you're asking it. We're
then,
in the moment
answer
here right
no
now.
Shot.
Cap, we're in the moment, though, right now. It's more exciting as a Bears fan. We're all excited about Justin Fields.
That's my point.
But we can't go back in time and measure our excitement level during the 2018 season when the Bears were running off a ridiculous run. When, if I'm not mistaken, the very next preseason, didn't you predict the Bears were going to win the Super Bowl at some point?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you don't know. But I'm telling you, you did. You predicted the Bears were going to win the Super Bowl in that preseason.
I don't think I picked the Super Bowl. I think I did pick they were going a long way. No question. Then answer the poll question. It's very easy. No shot. That's it. Just answer no shot. And by the way, almost 2,000 votes at 67% shot. So I'll rest my case. All right, let's get to... We're running out of time.
Take the L, Cap. Take the L.
You ruined the segment. You going after Weederer. You could have just let it go. But no, we had a Bill and Melinda Gates segment scheduled, and you ruined it. You know why? Because you're big mouth. You just have to be right.
Thank you.
You don't have to do that. Look, you should just let it go. Let it go, but you couldn't do it.
Couldn't.
You just couldn't. You know why? Ego Cap says, I've got to respond and fire back. Nobody cares, really. Really, nobody cares. You know why? Because we got the poll question. That solves everything.
Okay.
You know what you do at the end of the show? Oh, by the way, based on our conversation with Dan Weederer, this is what people said on the poll. We crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That would have been, but no, you had to take up the segment and not give me a word. I don't get a word in. I don't even get a word in. If you want your show back, please let me know.
All right.
Here's what I'll do. I'll stay at home, man, and watch Yellowstone. I'm just telling you. Go march down the hallway. Tell Mike, like, this isn't working out. I need more room to fight with Weederer. Take that. That's fine.
How about your manager, White Sox fans?
How about Melinda and Bill Gates?
How about your manager, White Sox fans? 312-332-3776 in 2 minutes.
What about Bill and Melinda Gates?
No shot.
Yeah, I guess not.